Tough rhetoric from the Bush administration toward Iran over the past few months was matched today by sweeping new sanctions, punishment for what the administration regards as Iran's nuclear weapons program, for its shipping of weapons into Iraq, and for support of international terrorism. The move followed talks in Rome between Iran and a delegation from the European Union over Iran's nuclear ambitions, talks which appear to have produced little movement. President Bush insists that he remains committed to diplomacy with Iran, but Flint Leverett believes that there's a different agenda. For several years, the former Bush administration officials had feared that President Bush will order attacks on Iran before he leaves office. If you have questions about U.S. policy toward Iran, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Flint Leverett was a senior director for Middle East Affairs at the National Security Council and an advisor to both Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And the administration, as we just said, the president says he's committed to talks on Iran through the diplomatic avenue with the European Union as negotiators. You believe, in fact, there's a different agenda.
Yes, I think, first of all, the offer of diplomacy is somewhat disingenuous. The United States would not actually join with the Europeans and with Russia and China to offer a so-called incentives package and offer conditionally to join in diplomacy with Iran until all of the parts of the package that the Europeans had prepared earlier on their own that dealt with security issues, commitments not to use force to change the borders of the form of government of the Islamic Republic of Iran as part of an overall settlement. Until those passages were taken out, the Bush administration would not actually sign on to the offer of diplomacy. And as long as those aspects are missing, you know, to say you want to have talks with Iran, why should the Iranians be interested in that kind of diplomatic overture?
All stick and no carrot.
Exactly.
And in fact, you argue that the Bush administration's approach to these discussions is to make them fail.
Yes. I think that even the people who are pushing this current so-called diplomatic approach, they understand that this approach is not going to resolve the issue. It's not going to push promote a serious diplomatic breakthrough. They're pushing it basically as a management tool. It's a way of kicking the can down the road and, in fact, avoiding having to make a choice to use military force or allow Iran to cross some significant threshold in its nuclear development. They are trying to forestall a military outcome, a military confrontation, but I think that their strategy is falling apart around them. It is failing even as a management tool for the issue. Harder line voices in the administration, such as Vice President Cheney, are gaining the upper hand in the policy debate within the administration. And you see this reflected in administration decisions and administration rhetoric.
In particular, the decision about the Revolutionary Guards, the Quds Force, to have it branded as a terrorist organization.
I think that's certainly one important indicator. You also look at the toughening of the president's rhetoric on Iran over the course of this year. Even just a few days ago at his news conference, he redefines the problem with Iran's nuclear program. His rhetoric for many months, even years, has been it's unacceptable for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Now he changes that formulation so that it is now problematic for Iran to have the knowledge that might enable them to build nuclear weapons at some point. This is an important rhetorical change because then the threshold of concern is no longer some point years in the future when Iran might, in theory, have the capability to build a nuclear weapon. It comes much, much closer when, for example, they've reached a certain level of mastery of the nuclear fuel cycle, uranium enrichment, which by some estimates, they might reach within a year or two. It brings the threshold of concern much closer.
Well, let me put this another way. Do you believe that Iran is embarked on a nuclear weapons program?
I believe that Iran is embarked on an effort to master the fuel cycle, which would give them a nuclear option, a so-called breakout capability, so that at some point down the road, if they decided they wanted a nuclear weapon, they would have the capability to produce the fissile material for it. They would still have to solve a whole host of engineering problems associated with fabricating a weapon, fitting it out for some kind of delivery system, and so on. And we have little or no indication that Iran has done any serious work on those problems. But I think they are working hard to master at least the uranium enrichment kind of fuel cycle, and that would give them some basis for a nuclear option.
So probably, in other words.
They're certainly working to develop the foundation for a nuclear weapons program.
Is Iran or parts of the Iranian government sending weapons into Iraq to arm their supporters, weapons that are being used to kill American troops?
I think that Iran has been providing various types of logistical, financial, material support to Shia militia and resistance groups for more than 20 years. They did this when these groups were in exile, fighting Saddam Hussein in exile from Iran. And given what is at stake for Iran in the way that Iraq shakes out, I don't think it should be any surprise that they have continued to maintain extensive channels of influence and support with all of the major political parties and their associated militias in Iraq's Shia community. I think in terms of the damage that these groups, if you want to consider them Iranian proxies, the level of damage that these groups could be doing to American interests in Iraq, the level of casualties they could be inflicting on American forces if Iran were really interested in using them for that purpose, I think Iran has actually in some ways shown considerable restraint in the way it has used these militias for its own purposes.
And to take up another argument put forward by critics of Iranian policy, is Iran engaged in a broad ideological struggle with the United States and Israel throughout the Middle East through its support of groups in Iraq, through its support of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and through its support of Hamas?
Iran is engaged in a struggle for geopolitical influence with the United States in the Persian Gulf and in the Middle East more broadly. In many cases, ideology is an important tool in that struggle. But I think fundamentally, this is a struggle about geopolitics, national interests. It is not fundamentally an ideological struggle if we treat it as such and are not prepared to deal with Iran in terms of what's in our interest and to make diplomatic strategies and approaches to them that take cognizance of what their interests are, I think we're doomed to failure and eventually a confrontation.
And do you fear that before leaving office, if the Bush administration sees that its likely successor is to be from the other party, that they will try to launch a strike, a number of strikes against Iranian nuclear facilities and perhaps other facilities before they leave office?
I think the risk of that is rising. I have no reason to believe that a firm decision to do that has been taken already. But certainly a wide range of preparatory measures have been taken, have been put in place so that if the president does take such a decision, it could be implemented relatively quickly. I think the odds that he will take that decision before he leaves office are rising, not falling.
Our guest is Flint Leverett, a former official at the National Security Council in the White House of the Bush administration. Let's see if we get some listeners in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll start with Matt. Matt with us from Des Moines in Iowa.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Listening to your guest talk, I've changed my question about 52 times here in my head, and I really don't even know which way to go because, quite honestly, you know, I call in. I think that listening to Bush talk about World War III and stopping a, you know, another regime. And,
he wasn't talking in favor of World War III.
No, yeah. Well, you know, getting to the point of that. But isn't the military stretched thin enough right now to where if we did get into another brouhaha in that area, that it's even going to get worse? I mean, the fact that we've given this guy, it seems like, another blank check to put us in a situation that's not going to get any better for anybody. Over what? Because they've threatened to bomb an ally. Sure, I understand that. And like I said, I guess I don't even know what my point is. I'm confused that we are allowing this administration to get us into another quagmire with another country that we could settle this diplomatically. After 9/11, they were they were extending the olive branch, so
that's
to
right.
speak. You know, and we totally blew it. Well, we had a chance.
Clint Leverett, you know a lot more about that than most people do.
Look, I certainly agree in terms of the history that after September 11, the Iranians offered us really quite substantial and extraordinary assistance with our efforts in Afghanistan, both before and after we overthrew the Taliban. Their reward for that was to be labeled part of the axis of evil in President Bush's 2002 State of the Union address. The Iranians continued to cooperate with us in Afghanistan after that, and they kept signaling in various ways that they wanted to broaden the dialogue, you know, to have a really broad-based strategic conversation with the United States about the full range of issues that divide our two countries. And they were consistently rebuffed by this administration. You know, and I certainly agree with you. I think it would be nearly disastrous from the perspective of American interests and the American position in this critical part of the world for us to get into a military confrontation with Iran. I think in terms of how we would do it, if it happens, we almost certainly would not be undertaking a ground-based invasion in the way that we invaded Iraq in 2003. I think you'd be talking about a substantial and sustained aerial campaign, aircraft, airstrikes, maybe cruise missiles and other kinds of standoff platforms.
Hmm. Thanks very much for the call, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Flint Leverett, former Senior Director for Middle East Affairs at the National Security Council, now a Senior Fellow at the New America Foundation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to William. William's with us from Winston-Salem in North Carolina.
Hi, how you doing? A great show you got here. My question revolves around Russia's role in this. We recently heard Vladimir Putin talking about Russia allowing the nuclear facilities in Iran to be finished at almost any cost with no interference. If the Bush administration keeps pushing this hard line, what's Russia's response to this, and do we then have a problem with conflicting interests between Russia and the United States?
Let me just insert that President Putin said today that new sanctions against Iran would lead to a dead end. I think he was talking about the negotiations, and also said there was no point in, he didn't specifically say who he was referring to, no point to rushing around like a madman with a razor in his hand.
Yes.
But anyway, given that for Flint Leverett.
President Putin has a way with words. You know, I think that Russia is, they're really playing a strategic balancing act here. You know, it's very popular in Washington to make the argument, well, Russia has an even bigger interest in solving this than we do because they're closer to Iran and they don't want a nuclear-armed Iran any more than we do. And at some level, that is true. The Russians don't want to see Iran become a nuclear weapons state. But on the other hand, I think they're much more comfortable than we are with the idea that Iran might be permitted to, and in fact it is its right under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, to develop a fuel cycle capability, a uranium enrichment capability, perhaps with, you know, Russian assistance, which means business for Russian companies.
In addition to that reactor they're finishing
at Bushehr. In addition to the power reactor they're finishing at Bushehr. But they're more comfortable with that idea than we are. Our position at this point is that, you know, Iran shouldn't be allowed to have any kind of enrichment or fuel cycle capability on its own soil. I think Russia is more relaxed about that. And then they're also, you know, they have some very important strategic interests in Iran that they want to maintain. They see Iran as an important ally in terms of maintaining a regional balance of power and keeping a lid on certain kinds of Sunni Muslim extremist groups that are a problem for Russia, just as they are
Chechnya,
for Iran.
Chechnya
being an example. And then, frankly, from a Russian perspective, there's another important issue in all of this, and that is what, from a Russian perspective, would be described as a penchant by the United States to engage in unilateral uses of force without authorization by the Security Council. This is the Russian view of the Iraq War, and Russia is determined to prevent a repeat of this with regard to Iran, or at the very least, to make the United States pay a heavy political price if we insist on going down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very important Russian interest here, too.
William, thanks very much. There were three countries in the axis of evil. Of course, Iraq and North Korea were the other two. And North Korea, they have reached a diplomatic solution with despite what some people would say was considerable provocation even going on, perhaps, with his involvement with Syria.
Yes. And I think that there are a few things that make Iran different in terms of the worldview of this administration. I think because of Iran's location in the Middle East, its seeming ideological hostility toward Israel, that for many in the administration, this is several levels above North Korea in terms of its threat to American interests.
Let's see if we get one last caller in. This is Andy. Andy with us from Billerica in Massachusetts.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I was in Kuwait and Iraq in 2004, 2005 with the National Guard. And there was something just in the air, and I want to emphasize that this was not official or I never saw anything in print, but it was just kind of a general understanding of most of the troops that Iraq was simply a stopping point on the way to either Damascus or Tehran or both.
Well, I think
my question is there any evidence that this has been part of a larger strategic plan to move through Iraq and into these other two countries that have been a problem for the administration?
Look, I think that there was certainly an interest on the part of some in the administration. I would note Secretary Rumsfeld, I note Vice President Cheney, in moving on from Iraq fairly quickly to the next target.
I mean, Low-hanging fruit.
There was some discussion, some debate about whether Iran or Syria was a more appropriate next target after Iraq. But I think there certainly were powerful figures in the administration who wanted to proceed in that way. If Iraq had not turned out to be such a problem, I think they would have been pushing very hard in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you very much.
And Flint Leverett, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Flint Leverett, now a senior fellow at the New America Foundation. Next week, we'll hear a different view on the administration's attitude toward Iran with former White House speechwriter David Frum. He'll be with us next week on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.